Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to start in Matthew chapter 8. I want to read a passage there that probably is not new to most of you. But we're going to draw something from this passage that's going to lead us in a direction this morning that will be challenging and relevant to all of us in this room. And so, Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to Jesus. He said, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, he said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof or into my home, but only say the word, give the word. Speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority." Say, under authority. He said, "I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this from the man, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go. Let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. There's a lot in this passage that we can be inspired by. You know, we love to hear when Jesus comes and he marvels and makes it a point to reveal that what impresses him, what he is amazed at, what he marveled at, what he repeated and affirmed in someone. And he was affirming in this centurion that there was faith here. And the faith was expressed by the man understanding authority. Because he himself was under authority, the centurion, and he also was in a place of authority over others. And he acknowledged that Jesus had the authority over sickness, over a disease. And he expressed it in a humble way, said, "I'm not even worthy, Jesus, to have you in my house. But I understand authority. If you say the word, if you say the word, it'll be done." And the man's insight into this came from his military life, where authority is always present. You're always either answering to someone or leading and giving directions to someone. And because of that in his life, he understood something. We like to hear stories like this because then, you know, we see Jesus' power go out and heal someone that he hasn't even touched. By the way, I want you to be encouraged this morning in this place, that Jesus can just give the word at the right hand of the Father, and it can happen in your life. That's just a side note. Some of you, may the Spirit make that alive to you in your life and situation and in your body. Others, we get excited about this and say, you know what, I got to be zealous with my faith. I just got to pray the word. I got to say the word to sick people. I've got to, and we get excited about, passionate about doing this and being involved in it. And I think there's some truth and some goodness with it. But in the reality of our daily living, do we grasp authority or do we struggle with authority? See, when we hear words like obey, when we hear words like submit or be submissive or subject yourself, or we hear things like obey, be obedient, things like humble yourself, you know, we know that those are noble terms that describe the virtues of Christ that are supposed to be evident in our life. But when it comes to God, we kind of say, yeah, all that fits because I trust God because he's perfect. And I want you to know, we may want to, and I'll use this term very loosely, wield the power of God, the authority of God in ministry through our life. But if we don't understand authority in our human relationships and don't live out that kind of understanding, and we've got issues with authorities in our life, I want you to know it will hinder your relationship with God, it will hinder the ministry of the Spirit through your life, and it's going to make some relationships in your life more difficult than they need to be. And that's how, if we have trouble with authority, it will expose itself. It doesn't matter how much we pray, how much we read the word, how much we put in the offering, how much we sing, all of these things. If we do not back up what we say we believe in our life with understanding authority and being submitted and submissive, if we misunderstand that, and we just think of these Christian indications and terms and commands and instruction from our worldly understanding, it's going to create problems for us. And that's where many of us live. This morning, I want the Holy Spirit to bring a measure of understanding to you and I about being submissive and understanding authority and being humble and obedient. We have believed some of these terms and what they mean, they were defined by our culture or by past experience. Listen, I want to tell you this. Every one of us in this room have been burned by someone has either been an authority or we perceive as an authority in our life. We've all been burned by it. But I will tell you that in Christ, though we have been burned by Christian and non-Christian authorities in our life, just because that's happened, it doesn't give us license or an excuse to live differently than what the Scripture intends us to be. Now, it will buffet us, it will challenge us, we will try to fight in faith, but listen, we cannot say, oh, Jesus understands, and therefore I get a pass on this, I get excused from this because of what's happened to me. As a born again, new start, new values, transforming, becoming like Christ. I mean, you got to remember, take a trip to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is about to go into a trial that was already rigged. He was going to suffer, though he's innocent, even to the point of dying on a cross. And he's in the garden, and he's saying to his own father, as he's sweating droplets of blood, if this cup, in other words, if I don't have to drink from being crucified, if this could pass from me, if there's another way, I'd really like it, which we can understand. But then Jesus says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He communicated respectfully what he was feeling, how he was looking at it, But when push came to shove and the rubber meets the road and whatever other phrase you want to use, Jesus submitted to the Father. And we are to be like him. So as Jesus in Matthew 8 has authority, he was also one who was under authority. He was under the authority of the Father. He submitted to the Father. He knew what submission was. He knew that it wasn't weakness. It was strength. It was protection. It was empowerment. It was God's order. And then, because Jesus understood it, he in turn could then walk in authority. Because he was under authority. If you're here and you have a problem with authority because of what's happened in your life, I want you to know that this morning, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit would speak to all of us in this room, because we all struggle from time to time, but he would speak so clearly to you and free you from the interpretation of submission that's been defined by the world or by what you've experienced in life, that can be crucified and burned out, and that this new understanding can come in and be in the foundation of your faith, that will now enrich you in your walk with the Lord, the ministry of Christ through your life, and will take away the unnecessary difficulties of some of the relationships that you have had or are having or will have. There are so many places, and this is where I'm going to skip a lot of things. But there are so many places in Scripture that talk about the authorities in our life, governing authorities, Christian and non-Christian. It talks about leadership in the church. It talks about relationship in the home. It talks about employee and employer and master and slave and husband and wife and parents and children and just with one another. It is said that the word submission or submit or submissive, they were not found in classic Greek, but they were found in the Greek, not classical Greek, but the Greek that is used in Scripture. And therefore, they had words and things like this. But this word that we're talking about is found in Greek only within the context of the New Testament, which should lead us to believe and understand that some of the things that we have believed have come from our bringing up what we have seen, what we've tasted of in this life, and a humanistic understanding, and now we bring that with us as we have converted to Christ, and yet we think those meanings are the same. And so now in Christendom, we limit ourselves and hinder ourselves because we have a misunderstanding of what words like this mean. See, one of the misunderstandings about being submissive is we use it synonymous with passive. And if you were to look in the dictionary and the definition of words, you will see that they are loose synonyms of one another. But I want you to know that within the context of Scripture, there is a distinct difference between being submissive and being passive. Passive is this: something happens, something unfolds in life, whatever it is, and you basically have no response, and you just kind of roll along with stuff. It's passive. No response. Submissive is very different. The whole idea of submission and being submissive has to do with volition, that we have a choice, that we choose to submit to something or someone. It is my volition. It's my choice. I have a response to this. Here's the beauty, is that it involves our will. And when it comes to the Lord, our submission is a choice that we make. Now, we may find it a little easier because, you know, God's perfect. He can be trusted. Even those of us who have trust issues from our past, there's a measure of trust that we easily move into with God. There's some that we still have to grow into because of our outlook and, you know, what has impacted us. But as a believer and a born-again believer and all things are becoming new, we move along in trust. But where we struggle is on the human level. But I want you to understand, our real worship of submission to the Lord has to do with how we submit to people. Otherwise, we limit our worship to, you know, singing songs. You see, Christian submission works like this. We come to a point in Christ and understanding our calling is to be submissive. It's our calling. Be like Christ. Pay attention to the verses that talk about submission and being submissive. It is where we come to a place and say, the call to be submissive goes beyond gender, it goes beyond tradition, and it goes beyond race and whatever else you want to put on the list. It is where we understand that the divine calling is to be a person who is submissive. Where we decide, I am going to become like Christ and I am going to be a submissive person. Humanness involved, the flesh involved, does things like this. If I like the boss, I'll submit. If my husband is nice to me, I'll submit. If I agree with my teacher, then I'll submit. If I think my parents might be right about this, I'll submit. You see, it goes case by case. We decide based upon how we feel, what we think. Do they agree with me? Do I like them? Do I not like them? And all of our human preference gets imposed. And our human preference gets elevated above the principle of being submissive. Back here, when we understand it as a call from the Lord to be a submissive person, the decision has been made. This is the kind of person I am going to be. And it's never up for a vote again. So it doesn't matter what situation comes along, whether the boss is nice, whether the boss isn't nice, where the teacher says something I agree with or I don't want to listen to. I don't want to do. Now it's from a perspective that I've already decided to be a submissive person because it's my call in Christ to be like this. Therefore, no matter what I face, I will be submissive. Whether the boss is a good boss, a good leader, or whether the boss is an oppressive leader. See, that's hard for us to swallow. And right away, if you're here and you're thinking, oh, well, I can think of some things where we don't need to be submissive. Right away, if you are a person who's running to the exemptions, I want you to be aware that that is an indication. We all know some exceptions. That if a leader calls us to do something that defies God, we are released from that and we submit to God rather than man. But our submission to God up to that point has everything to do of how we submit to people in our life. We misunderstand. We think if we're submissive, we don't have a voice. We just have to go yes. We have to go yes. Hey, listen, even God himself says, listen, come, let us reason together. Submission doesn't take away your voice. But I'm going to work towards something here. I want you to know that when we live in submission, that is actually the loudest voice that we can have as a light of Christ in this world. And as the days go by and the world gets more corrupt and more lax and more tolerant and all of these other things, that notions that sound good, that bring a decay to us and our society, I want you to know the more that that digresses and goes lower and lower, the brighter God's principles like submission will shine brightly to get people's attention, because it's not common anymore. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter. And by the way, Romans chapter 13 is a great passage. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter. I mentioned those so that in a live stream, you can take notes, look them. If you go back and watch this and you want to look up some other references, you can. There's some directive there for you. But for the sake of time, I need to move very quickly. Just to close up a few things. 1 Peter, chapter 2 talks about, in verse 13, it says, be subject for the Lord's sake. Whose sake are we being subject, submitting ourselves to human authorities? For whose sake? Say it. The Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor, the president, the mayor, the whoever, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God. And it goes on. And you can read this on your own. I would encourage you to do that. The balance of 1 Peter chapter 2. It transitions here in the letter. We call it chapter 3. But the letter just transitioned here and it goes on. I want you to listen to this now. Wives, subject to your own husbands, or submit to your own husbands. Now, see, from our understanding, human understanding, this can really bother us. And if you're a wife here or a woman here, and you're like, I hate these verses. Because we look at them as that they are something that we are subservient to. And someone gets to lord it over us. I just want you to hold on. Because we're going to address that, because there's a misunderstanding that you have as a woman or a wife in that context. And I got some good news for you, that you've been thinking wrong about this and you need to think correctly about it. And husbands are here going, don't you, no, you let them think that. You corrupt, anyhow, okay. Wives, submit to your husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, or in other words, they don't honor Christ, they're not in the faith of Christ. So listen to this. So that even if some of your husbands do not obey the word of God, that they may be won without a word from you, but by your conduct as a wife who is a believer, so that when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So here's the point. In this situation, as a wife understands Christian call to be submissive as a person, not just as a wife, as a person. Back there they made the decision, I'm going to be a submissive person. Doesn't matter what relationship or I'm going to be a submissive person. In the context of being a wife here, married to a man who's not in the faith, that the man who's not in faith is going to notice the submission of his wife and her conduct and her attitude and all of this, and it's going to get his attention, and he's going to start to think, maybe there's something to this faith. And the Holy Spirit uses it as a light to shine into the darkness of the husband to get him to think about this. You see, our response in the human definitions of submission is I'm submitting until things aren't going my way or they're mistreating me. Our first voice is this: You wait a minute. You're not going to take advantage of me, and we're going to, you know, get the signs out, and we're going to picket you, and we're going to, you know, get a petition, and we're going to. I want you to know, as a Christian, that should not be our first voice. Our first voice should be that of the actions of a submitted person. And in it, they glorify and reflect who Jesus Christ is. So that those who don't know Christ will be confronted with the revelation of Christ in your life. Because you are handling it different than everyone else. And what's really at stake? Your rights or their eternal salvation? You and I are a slave to Christ. We have no rights. Now, I'm not telling you that you can't ever speak up respectfully. I'm not telling you that there you have to go and do sinful things against God because the authority over you tells you to do so. Listen, the Bible's chock full of that's where they cross the line. We're not going to submit. You can go back in the Old Testament to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can go to Daniel. You can go to the apostles, and they say, come to the point and say, you can judge whether we should obey you or God. There's a point. I get it. But up to that point, we have decided to be a believer who is going to be like Christ and be submitted to authorities. And my worship to God is how I live that out with people. Listen, I'm a man who's under authority. I have authorities over me. I'm glad for them. Back in my early days, starting out as a pastor, worked at a large church. There were lots of pastors. There was a senior pastor. There was another pastor on staff that I reported to, and other pastors reported to other pastors. And, you know, there was order. It was a structure. It may not be perfect, but it's the order we lived with to do the best that we could. And I decided then, I'm going to be submitted. Whether I think I have a better talent than they do, whether their leadership style is different than mine, whether some of their flaws were revealed to me, it did not matter. I was going to be a submitted person to them. One, because it's God's word and it's who I called to be and I decided to be. That's one. Two, I wanted to plant good seeds. Because if God should give me long life and grow old and all of that, and he should tarry, I want that to take root, bring fruit that I can eat from and that can fall to the ground and be replanted and grow again and others can eat of it. Doing it for the Lord's sake. Now watch this. So that these husbands could be one. He says, don't let your adorning be external. And what he's saying here is you can braid your hair and you can do all this stuff, but don't be let that be the quality that gets people's attention. I mean, you're still supposed to clean yourself, take care of yourself. You can dress nice. It's not that you can't wear jewelry or any of those things. But don't be recognized for those things. Be recognized for this. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in which God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I want to pause that. This is so good. I'm telling you, this part's so good. Because we're about to, you know, women are here going, I'm on the edge of this, I don't know, I know it's a word, but I don't know. But gain the understanding of what Christian submission is, not what you've taken with you from the world. Submission is what we're called to, regardless of the relationship. Scripture says in various places, submit yourself one to another. Now, hold on. But this whole thing with Sarah calling Abraham Lord, it's a little L, first of all. And I want you, not capital L, little L. Now, I want you to catch this. We miss it. Because the men are here like, that's right. Looks at his wife, you better start calling me Lord. The wives are here like, I ain't ever calling you Lord. You know where can freeze over before I'd ever call you Lord. And who do you think you are? I want to share something with you. If you look back in the original language, this was a term of affection. This wasn't like just this term of, oh, I'm subservient to the great Abraham. It was his wife. The term where she says, she even called him Lord. Yes, it built him up, but it was a term of affection. So in our culture, the phrase would be more like this, so you understand it, that she called him Lord Honey, Lord Sweetheart. See, it was a term of affection, personal affection. It was terms like we say honey and dear and Lord dear, Lord honey. I can see it now in mockery over lunch. Oh, Lord honey, would you please pass me the, yeah. It was a term of affection. It was not this lording over Sarah. Remember, submission is not determined by gender or tradition or by race. Submission, Christian submission, is a calling of who we're going to be and how we're going to conduct ourselves and human relationships across the board. See, submission, now let's finish this here before I make that comment. For this is how the holy women hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Listen, don't fear submission because you've made it frightening or the world has. As if it's a place of weakness. It's not. It is a light that will shine brightly, and other people's salvation is at stake whether you and I, the living church on earth, are going to exemplify what a submitted person acts and looks like and sounds like. Instead of the person who has an agenda and ready to fight back and bite back. And listen, if we act like this, they will never listen to the gospel that you have in your life. But if we submit ourselves and we turn to be a blessing even to those who don't treat us right, a light will shine. And maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit will use it to bring salvation to their soul. You see, this is how this works. And we could have changed the relationships here. It's not just husbands and wife. It's what he's writing about. But he wrote about other relationships. Paul wrote about other relationships and about this submission. Listen, we all have authorities in our life, and we all are to be submitting to people in our life, whether they're our authority or not. Like, submit yourself one to the other. Submission is this. In context of a husband and wife, because that's where we were kind of hanging our hat for a moment. When it says wife submit to the husband, it means lift up his preference and him to be equal to or greater than your personal preference. Lift him up, his idea, who he is, lift him up to equal or exceed your personal preference. I mean, because we all like our personal preference. I mean, have you ever sat in a meeting and criticized your own idea? No, you criticize other people's ideas. Because yours is number one in your mind. Well, submission is lifting up this person to equal or be greater than your personal preference, for their encouragement, for the building up of who they are, and for you to exemplify submission to them for the sake of the Lord. It's interesting when Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. What did he do? He laid his life down. He lowered his personal preference to be equal or less than the bride of Christ. So husbands, we are to lay down our life, lay down our preferences below our wife's preference so that she feels and knows that we respect and love her. Wives, you're supposed to lift up his preference, his idea, his wish to be equal to or greater than yours, so that our relationships don't operate like this. See, this is the world's idea. But rather, our relationships, the laying down of life and elevating them, we walk together. We live together. We build a life together. In fact, submission, one of the definitions of submission is actually in a military context, and it means this. Here's the goal. I'm going to submit to the goal by doing my part. And that another individual or another group agree with the goal, but they're going to do their part. They're not going to do my part. They're not going to be nosing around somebody else's part. They're going to do their part. And as each of us do our part, the goal is accomplished and victory comes. Now, how beautiful is that in marriage or any relationship? That I do my part, they do their part, and each of us doing our part, we accomplish the goal, and victory is won. Watch this. So he goes on and he says this all about wives and Sarah. And then he says, verse 7, what's the first word? He writes, likewise. In other words, what I just told all the wives you husbands listen to, I am now telling you, you do the same thing. He said wives, but it's to anybody. It's to everybody. This is what wives should do. Husbands, likewise. Ditto. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, I want to pause here because this irritates a lot of people. You have to remember, when he wrote this to his culture. Back then, okay, get the culture so they understood it. Weaker vessel. Physically, they were predominantly weaker. Intellectually, they were not as smart, because they weren't given any opportunity to be educated. Most of them lived within the four walls of their tent. The men were out, and some were educated, and some were doing business, and their life was in the community, not just in the home. So there were reasons that they were considered a weaker vessel. I mean, you could take Sue and I. We could have a physical fight. She's going to win, because I'm not going to hit her back. Now, I'm bigger than her, obviously, and I'm stronger than her. I'm also smarter than her in some areas. In other areas, she is way smarter than me. And you know what? I need to be glad about that. That we can not walk like this, but walk like this. That she can do her part and I can do mine, and the goal's accomplished. And there's peace and there's joy. Instead of this. or this? I don't know. I'm doing my calling. I can't be concerned whether she is elevating me and lifting me up to above her preference. That's her job. My job, my part to make this work is I lay my life down for her sake, for the Lord's sake. And then that submission, that his light would shine brightly and there would be eternal gain in her life, my life, others who are touched by it, who see it. See, that's the primary call of submission. It's about eternal things. We make it about the here and now. And that's why we do it case by case. And we fluctuate depending on how we feel or condition of the person or condition of the situation. No, no. As a believer, submission has nothing to do with the other people at this point. It's about me responding to the call to be a submissive person. It doesn't mean I'm passive or have no response. It's that I choose to be submissive. Listen, I got to tell you something. You know, we're afraid of terms like, oh, if you listen to your wife, you're henpecked. What will the guys say? Listen, I submit to my wife all the time. I don't want to say all the time because we should never use like word all and never and always and all that. You know, but I submit to her. She wants something done. She makes a request. Or she tells me something. I do it. What's the problem? Be a man. You got to, you know, wear the pants. I'm not threatened or insulted or embarrassed by any of that. Do I do everything she says? No. There's times she says, I'm not going to tell you what I think because you're going to do what you're going to do anyhow. I tell her, well, that's because I'm right. See, I submit to her. Watch what he says. I'm going to close with this because I know it's late. Showing honor to the woman is the weaker vessel. Understand that in our culture today, that's not always the case. They are educated. Some of them lead corporations. Some of them are supervisors, women. Some of them are doing physically demanding jobs. There are women in this room that can run a mile quicker than I can. You don't even have to prove it. I'll just say you win. I don't want to run the mile. You see, things have changed in our culture. And it doesn't make it godless. It's just we need to understand what submission means. It transcends culture. It's a principle that we're called to and the kind of person we're going to be. Listen, and it transcends these relationships. For example, got Dave Sanborn sitting over here. And we got Andrew Raymer sitting over here. And Dave here, he can either elevate and build up Andrew Raymer to equal his preference or be greater and build him up, or he cannot submit to him. And they're not married to each other. This is relationship stuff. Because watch what happens when we don't submit. Husbands, live with your wives in understanding, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. In the husband and wife context, and we'll go back to these two guys in a second, husband and wife context, he's saying, you husbands, you need to do likewise of what the wives are doing. And I'll tell you why, he says. Because that woman is an heir of Christ. Don't mess and mistreat his heir. If you do, your prayers will be hindered. Husbands, you want God to hear your prayers? Treat your wife good. Wife, you want your prayers to be heard? Treat your man good. David, you want your prayers to be heard? Then don't oppress our brother Andrew Raymer over here, but lift his up to your preference and even greater, that you show submission to him, and God will hear your prayers. They won't be hindered. And Andrew, you need to do the same thing. It doesn't mean we just got to agree with everybody. They're in a meeting, you're going to have different ideas, but we're going to submit to the goal that makes sense. And if it's different than what you thought, or they don't listen to your comments, then so what? You go out and do your part, because you will shine the light of Christ. Everyone in the meeting knows this was not your favorite idea. However, it was the outcome of the meeting. And there was no down the road where you get to say, I told you it wasn't going to work. Uh-uh. You do your part with faithfulness to submit to the others and submit to the goal. Unless it is a command to sin against God. Even a Christian woman is to submit to an unsaved husband. You and I are to submit to unsaved, I don't know, political leaders. Our first voice and strongest voice is not protest. Our first and strongest voice is submission, because it exemplifies Christ and it stands in such bright contrast to the darkness of this world in its thinking that it will get people's attention, and just maybe they will turn their hearts to Christ because you are a person of faith and they see how you conducted yourself, even if it was under mistreatment, misrepresentation, and oppression by them or others.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.